This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're with Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinko's Hour here with Emma and Brian, and we've got a pretty big show this week, haven't we?
I'm really excited about it. We've got two guests in the studio tonight from Quippings.
You're excited. I'm a little bit nervous because I'm panelling tonight and it's all kind of new to me. We're moving digital people, and we did the old analog broadcast. But Joy is so amazing. We're going digital and they've trained me to kind of get my head around the panel. So I'm a little bit nervous tonight. Usually it's you that's nervous, isn't it, Emma?
Yes. Anything could happen tonight, people.
Well, anything could happen tonight. It's going to be a freaky show because we've got some fantastic, Quippings performers. Quippings is a local, queer disabled group, and they've presented a lot of performances, art, creative stuff, poetry, readings, comedians, acts, at the Hare Hole down on Johnson Street in Fitzroy, the bookstore. But they're actually kind of going to be presenting a show at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent as part of this year's Fringe Festival. So we're going to be joined tonight by Jax and Jared, who are part of the Quippings crew. They've got a great lineup of performers down at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent. So we'll be talking to them tonight. So is that why you're excited, yeah?
That is why I'm excited. And we've got a great music lineup tonight as well. Yeah, I think Jax has chosen.
They've picked some fantastic music, haven't they? Like, it's all kind of freaky and tasty. And yeah. But my nerves are calming down, I think. But let's kick off with the music anyway. This is their first track they've asked us to play. It's Silverchair, a bit of Aussie grown music.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to
Joy. Oh, yeah, a bit of Silverchair there. I'm revving it up here on a Tuesday night in the Joy Studios. It's Brian and Emma here, and we're chatting to Jax Brown and Jared, who are, I guess, gang mob, queer Quippings people from the Quippings group. Welcome to Joy, guys.
Thanks. It's great to be here again, Brian.
Actually, Jax, you're a bit of an old favourite of mine. I mean, I hail you as my one of my favourite guests, or my most favourite guests. What am I trying to say here?
You don't want to offend other guests.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't want to say favourites. Yeah, what's your favourite?
Well, I must have done something really memorable.
No, I guess, Kath Duncan, our former co-host in here at Lefty Pinko's, introduced me to you, Jax, and I hadn't heard about you. I talked about your poetry before you came in, actually, and then you came in and you just blew me away with, I guess, what you had to say politically, socially, sexually, in an activist sense, and then you kind of read some great poetry. So you're an old favourite of mine. I'll put it out there.
Yay,
when it comes
cool.
to Lefty Pinko's broadcasting here on Joy. But, yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here. I'm not only producing and emceeing this show, I'm also performing in it, so you'll get to hear some more of my work if you come along.
What sort of stuff are you going to be doing?
I'm just doing a little piece called Intersections. I think it might have even been the one that I did here, about the little bumps at train on train stations and at crossings and stuff for blind people, and how it feels as a wheelchair user to roll the chair over them.
And get off on it, yeah.
that was the one
that blew me away.
Yeah,
so
I
was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So. And Jared, yeah, welcome to Joy. We're actually popping a cherry tonight, aren't we?
You are. It's probably the only cherry I have left to pop. Because this is my first queer radio cherry popping thing going on.
So are you as nervous as I am, or you're kind of...
It's all the same after a while.
I don't know about you, Brian. That just makes it more exciting.
But I guess, Jared, how long have you been involved with Quippings?
I think about 12-ish months, or a little bit more than that. I performed about 4 or 5 times now. I'm not always doing comedy. I start off doing a little bit of my music stuff. I'm originally a DJ before a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But then one night my stuff wouldn't quite work on stage, and then it was a little bit awkward, and then Jack was like, hey, why don't you just be funny? And I'm like, okay. So I got back up and said some stuff, and people laughed, and that was good. Lucky.
How did you get involved with the group originally, Jared?
Well, it was just through a few friends met Gav Duncan through the disability world, as you do. It's very small, but also very big at the same time, I find. The disability thing. And then I just went along for the first time as a spectator. And then I was kind of finding my disability scene and sexuality scene at the same time. I guess Quippings was a good way of finding that out as well, which was good. And I was a bit blown away by the talent and the people who performed there. I was a little bit nervous to join the party, but they're very warm and welcoming, like always.
I guess, and it's, I guess, just to kind of give props to, I mean, Kath Duncan, we've mentioned her name tonight. She was a co-host with us here in Lefty Pinkos, and Emma's sitting in her warm seat, or sitting in the hot seat, rather, is what I'm trying to say, and filling her shoes up here and here. But, I mean, yeah, Kath actually started Quippings, yeah? Like, back, when was that? Tell us about that, Jax.
So, as my understanding of it is that it was midsummer of 2011, so the Midsummer Queer Festival, and I actually grew up in the town up in regional New South Wales that Kath used to live in as well. And so when she moved away and moved to Melbourne, I started hearing things on her Facebook and stuff about this Quippings group. And so I kind of knew about it before I even came to town. And I've been in Melbourne almost 2 years now, 2 years in November. And so I literally flew in early November and then did my first performance in Melbourne at Quippings on a Quippings stage. Yeah, and there was a lot of lube, and there was a dildo, and there was some, might have been some lube.
I think from memory it was a purple dildo.
Anyway,
I don't know why
It was a response to International Day of People with Disabilities, and how often it's you know, not led by people with disabilities. It's about normalising difference as opposed to kind of celebrating it. So I did a little bit of a performance piece about that, and I learned a few things. I learned that if you use a lot of lube on stage, and then you want to wheel off stage, you should probably have some tissue.
It's
there's also a video of it as well.
Yeah, it's all on the internet, which is on YouTube? Always interesting when I get a new girlfriend or lover. I'm just like, I hope they don't know how to use Google, because hi.
Aren't you that one from YouTube with the purple window?
Yeah, well, there's something missing meeting you today.
Yeah, maybe that's because I use it to pick up women.
No, I've got other strategies. So I knew about Quippings before I even came to town, and then it was just amazing. It was amazing to have a performance space and to be part of something where it was led by people with disabilities, and it was all people with disabilities as performing on the nights and stuff. And that is something that when Kath kind of didn't want to do it anymore and was looking for someone else, and she rang me up and said, would you be interested? I just totally jumped at the chance, because I was like, wow, this is something really unusual and something that really needs to continue. And so we're kind of spreading our wings and taking the big stage at the Melba Spiegeltan in Collingwood.
She's a bit of a fire starter, that Kath Duncan. I mean, we wouldn't be here tonight broadcasting on Joy if it weren't for her. So, we'll be back to chat to Jax and Jared more about their Freaktastic Fringe Festival show here on Joy 94.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Oh, yeah, with Joy 94.9, that was Le Freak, I think the word is called. Le Chic with Le Freak. Emma, help me out.
I'm not imitating that voice.
Did you realise it was a French accent? Yeah,
yes.
I'm really bad at Scottish accents, but French, I kind of feel pretty confident with it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jared. If you've just tuned in, we're having a good time here in the studios with it's Lefty Pinko's Hour from 8 p.m. every Tuesday night. But we're here with Jared and Jax, who are from the Quippings crew, and they've got a show on at the Spiegel Tent as part of this year's Melbourne Fringe Festival. And I was just saying to Jax during the break, then, look, you know, we planned to talk about your background and who you are and where you're from and all that kind of stuff, but we just went for the purple dildo discussion, got right into it, lubed up, talking about acts and whatnot and where Jax hit the stage first off. But I guess, Jared, I'd like to get back to you. Tell us a bit about yourself, mate.
So I kind of grew up in Melinda, wasn't lucky enough to be in interstate Tagalong. I actually grew up in Narrowin, little town, about an hour outside Melbourne. And I know I haven't been quite for a disability point of view. I didn't come out as having a disability for probably a good portion of my life around when I was about 23. And then I was looking for a job, as most 23-year-olds do. And my dad said, "Why don't you volunteer somewhere?" I'm like, "Oh, volunteering is a bit boring and no money." But I found this wonderful disability community, and just got a little bit involved in. Like, hang on, we're quite loud and proud, and I kind of learned to be, proud of kind of my disability in a sense, and then my sexuality side kind of followed that as well. So, we made it all very easy in the end.
And so how do you think your life has changed since you found that community? And you've been performing as well, so has that sort of helped you find your voice a little bit?
Or? Yeah, definitely. It's quite, when you're around like-minded people, it's quite amazing. Like, I always felt like, not so much different within myself, but more like, I knew I wasn't the same as the people who I was hanging around at the time growing up. And I knew that there was difference in myself and my lifestyle. But until the last 3 or 4 years, I wasn't really embracing that as much as I probably should have. And then I found this awesome community that taught me, I guess I taught them about who I was. And so it really really shown a light was put on. And I really found who I was, and I guess equipping this is a nice good space to explore yourself and also try new things in a safe environment, I guess.
You mentioned you came out with your disability. Can you elaborate on that? Because, how do you come out with your disability? Like, is it?
Well, Stella Young has probably talked about this a little bit more elegantly than I probably will. But I guess, there's obviously for people who are playing at home and you can't see me now, I'm a wheelchair user. And so, my disability is quite obvious from a visual point of view. But there's things so the obvious things.
It's about kind of owning your identity or something.
Yeah, I can't
sense,
get upstairs or whatever. But there's also so much more to that. There's, being not, it's not. It's not your, actually, it's not your problem that you can't find employment or you're being discriminated. It kind of turns the world back onto the onus on society rather than like you are the problem. It's more society doesn't accept you yet rather than rather than accepting society the way it is. It's more society learning to deal with your disability. I think that's the sort there, and there's a social model there. But that's a bit tedious to talk about.
And I think in terms of coming out as disabled as well, like I'm a wheelchair user as well, and there really is some strong parallels, and I'm also queer. There really is some strong parallels between coming out as disabled and coming out as queer. Like, we have to develop a narrative around who we are that is got pride in it, that is positive, that uses language that is interesting to us. And you often have to come out in conversation as well. Like people will come and say, you know, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And you've got to have a story that rebuts that underlying assumptions in those in that question, which is that there's something wrong with you or there's something negative about living with an impairment.
I guess I'm just thinking about the online world. Like, say, if you're online, like, that's a good example where you might, you know, you could, I guess, for example, I mean, using my experience, people often ask, what nationality are you or what race are you? It's one of the first things they'll ask me.
Yeah.
And I can either mask that or not, or kind of indulge it or not, or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, is it the same sort of thing where you can, I guess, when you can come out with your disability in that sense, is that like, is that a good parallel to use? Or?
Yeah, and I guess as well, like, disability relies on, as Jared was talking about, like developing a sense of disability or freak pride, is about finding community and about finding like-minded people that think about their impairments in a positive and similar kind of way. And that's the same for, you know, queer people. It's about finding a community, and through finding that community and those connections, then developing that part of their identity into this positive thing. And although you still have to, of course, deal with homophobia or discrimination in whatever form it comes when you're part of a minority group, you've then got this sense of yourself that's really strong and proud, and people around you that support that part of yourself as well.
Beautiful. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkers on Joy 94.9. It's Emma and Brian, and we're chatting to Jax and Jared. They're from Quippins, and they've got a fringe show that we'll talk about after we play this announcement.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're back on Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9 with Brian and Emma, and we've got Jax and Jared with us tonight from Quippings. And I'm hoping that you can tell us a little bit more about the show, the performers.
Yeah. So it's actually called Quippings Freaktastic Fringe, because we thought we'd get into the theme of fringe in its name, as well as freak and freak pride. And so the theme, I guess, that I set people that wanted to be in the show as the producer was, can you write me something around freak as a person with a disability or difference? And so do you identify positively as a freak? Do you see it as something that you would use and reclaim in a similar way that the queer community reclaims queer? Or is it something that doesn't resonate with you and it's a word that you wouldn't want to use? And so a lot of our performers have written to theme, and some of them, like Jared, is just going to tell some disability comedy. Stella Young's going to tell some disability comedy as well. She's on the Friday and Saturday night. So it's from the 1st to the 5th of October. So it's Wednesday to Sunday. And we've got the Divine Miss M, she's just been seen in Glory Box, in Finucane and Smith's Glory Box. She's a circus performer. She's a short-statured circus performer. She's amazing. She's currently working on her first solo show called I Am Not a Unicorn. And me and Kath Duncan went and saw the showing the other week, and it was amazing. So hopefully she's going to do a little number out of that, because it was all great. And then we've got Carly Finlay, who is a really successful blogger who has ichthyosis, which is a skin condition, and she writes about living with visible difference. We've got someone called Electric Vixen, who has performed on the Quipping stage a number of times.
Was that you just getting excited there, Jared?
Look at that. A little bit excited over there.
That's my disability.
And then, of course, we've got Jared, who gets excited over things all the time. And then we've got some emerging performers as well. So we've really tried to encourage people that some performers that are more established and have got their feet, so to speak, on stage, but also to support people that maybe this is their first time and they really want to have a go. And so we've supported them through the rehearsal process and working with our director, Kate Hood, who's also a wheelchair user, to allow people to kind of get on a bigger stage and.
Jared, now, you're not going to stick specifically to the theme of freak, but I guess what sort of themes does your comedy bring up?
mainly around what stupid able-bodied people say and do to me.
Like what I just did then with, you know, like, was that, yeah, getting excited.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably worthy of it. No, just like things like, I had a woman come up to me once and I was just holding hands with my lady of the moment. And this woman just came up to me and said, "Do you lie down together?" And I'm like, "Yes, we do lie down together. But we also lie down separately and in different rooms." And like, yeah, I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, it's just funny how people just feel comfortable coming into my space and asking me really, really personal questions. And I guess it happens to all of, maybe not all of us, but most disabled people would encounter these moments. And I think, you know, you can go two ways. You can get really depressed and pissed off about these things, or you can use it as comedy material and make lots of money.
I guess I'm reading from your media release here, and Kath, again, just to kind of hark back to her, she wrote, there's a quote that leads the media release, and I guess it's just about reclaiming that identity. Like, freak is powerful, she says, scary, unmistakable, irresistible. Freak is permanently strange, resistant to treatment or cure. Freak has shock value. Freak is strong. Freak is something you can be called as an insult. Freak is an act of defiance. That's a really beautiful quote, isn't it?
Yeah, that kind of sums up, all the different interpretations or uses of one word that people can have even within the disability community, really. And I loved that as kind of personalising what it can mean and how we can use it. And I guess as a kind of jumping off point and as a catchy point to get the media's kind of interest in what is this, what is this show and what is it doing?
And so what sort of acts will you have then? Like, you've got comedy, you've got...
So we've got spoken word stuff. We've also got our Cryptastic Freaktastic disability band. All the members have disabilities, called the Bear Bros Asylum Orchestra. And so they'll be playing a fair few numbers within it as well. They've got some covers that they're doing, but also ones that they've written especially for Freaktastic, which is great. So we've got we've got Andy Jackson as well. He's a he's a well-known spoken word poet and writer who has a disability, who's going to be doing a piece. It's kind of interspersed between music, spoken word and comedy. And maybe a little bit circus stuff, depending on what Emma decides to do.
And you're all under the direction of Kate Hood, and she's got a bit of a celebrity out there. Like, she's done stuff on Blue Healers and I think Prisoner from memory, is that right?
Yeah, she has.
So all you Prisoner fans out there, this is Kate Hood. But she, I guess, what's the term, I guess, Jack? She recently got a disability or something like that. Like,
she acquired her disability later in life. So from memory, and I did a little bit of internet stalking, I think she's had it for about 7 or 8 years. We had a chat and a coffee the other day, and we had some free time, so I asked her about her life, and she's had such an interesting life and done so much stage work. Like, she toured around New Zealand in her early 20s for 5 or 6 years and would do back-to-back theatre shows. So she would be learning one piece and then doing another piece that night. So double shows she was learning. And then came to Australia and then, of course, you know, went on to do television and stuff. And so one of the things that she's really passionate about is, because she was an established actress and she had a lot of work, and then she acquired her disability, and now she's found it really difficult to actually get work in the industry because of the discrimination around that people just don't want to cast people with disabilities, or if they want to show a disabled character in a mainstream show, they often choose to use an actor who doesn't have a disability, which is actually really problematic. So one of her great passions is actually disability-led art now, and that is why she's got behind this.
And so what's she brought to the Freaktastic show? Like, what's...
She's brought... did have a level of professionalism before in the sense that Kath kind of cracked the whip on us when she was at the helm of Quippings, and then I kind of kept going and would kind of be a bit firm with people with deadlines and stuff, particularly because we had to have Auslan interpreting, and so we have to know what people are going to say when they get on stage so that the interpreters can interpret correctly. But, yeah, I guess Kate's brought a level of knowledge about the industry as well, and... yeah, she's very, very ordered, and we've got a stage manager as well now, and so them together, as well as me being producer, we're kind of herding everyone.
Yeah.
I get. I mean, like,
timing everyone and making us all kind of stepping up to the mark of
You've come. I don't want to use humble's probably the wrong word, but you started out the hare hole, I guess, or hares and hyenas in Johnson Street, and now you're in the Spiegel here. That's sort of like the big time. Is that freaking you out?
Yes.
Jack's a little bit more freaked out, didn't he?
Well, yeah, because I've got to MC and perform and get on stage every 5 minutes and say things. You just get up there and be funny with a couple of jokes. I mean, good on you. But the pressure's on. Kate wants me to turn in a particular way when I exit the stage, which is great. I'm sure it visually looks amazing, but, you know. I think I need a pair of wings, I've decided today. I'll allay my nerves somewhat.
I have to turn at least once, too.
We're doing the 5-night run in inverted commas, but then we're going to go back and go back to the hare hole and do our usual protest against International Cripple Day in December. So if there is new performers that hear about the show and want to be involved, we will have our regular small friendly little space back there that you can come and kind of have a crack at it if you want to get involved in Quippings.
We love the hare hole.
I'm interested to hear a little bit, just talking about, comments that people make to you, Jared, and people asking about your disability. Is that something, because in my view, opinions about the queer community have changed over time. Is that something that's changing in relation to non-normative bodies as well, or is it still... kind of a stereotype, basically.
I guess there's two parts of it. There's a body, like the physical disability, and then there's a, what I'm expected to do in this body, I guess. And so the body things of being a man with a disability, is seen as... I guess people don't think that I'm asexual as much as I guess somebody might, an able body might think a woman would. I think able bodies would assume, and the stereotyping of women with disabilities is they're more asexual than a disabled man. Would be, but I guess there is a still stereotypical thing of people with disabilities are asexual, and if they're not asexual, then they're straight, whereas that's not the case at all. And then what I'm expected to do with this body is, people give me a pat on the back for buying a coffee or going to shops where, and they're not telling me off for not being at home on a Tuesday afternoon or why am I rolling around with no shoes on? that's they're happy that I'm out. And in the community on a Saturday afternoon, they don't really care what I wear. I think so. I wrote in an article on Ramp Up that we're kind of burdened by this low expectation. Now, I guess it's kind of some people with disabilities have a learned dependency on the able-bodied community, and so it kind of suppresses us even more so. There's two types of things. There's our bodies and what they represent to the able-bodied community and society, and then there's what people expect us to do with these bodies. or not to do.
I guess, Jack, you're sitting here with a singlet on that says fuckability. Tell us about that before we break for an ad.
That's a workshop that I've been running for a number of years that looks at disability and sexuality and the need for people with disabilities to have a relationship with their body and develop a relationship with their body that is based on pleasure and that is based on... that's based on looking at the strength of your body or what you want to do with your body, as opposed to this kind of pathologizing of the non-normative body, which through the medical profession, which is often thinking about, you know, what you can't do or what is wrong in inverted commas with your body. I like to try and kind of reframe that and go, well, where, you know, sex and sexuality and bodies are about pleasure and they can be about pain a little bit if you want, if that's what you're into. But, you know, like, why don't we reframe it into what we're... what we want to do and what we what we're into, and go there because yeah, that's fun.
Beautiful. You're listening to Lifted Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We're chatting to a couple of freaks, Jax and Jared. It's Emma and Brian here. We'll be back to have some more chats.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Oh, we're getting sexual here in the Joy Studios. It's Brian and Emma, Lefty Pinkos. That was Macy Gray and Erica Badu with Sexual Revolution. And we're getting revolutionary, actually, with Jax and Jared. They're here to talk about their Quippin's Freaktastic Fringe show.
So, and let's talk a little bit more about sex positivity.
Yeah.
So what makes, for the two of you, what makes you feel sexy?
Well, I'd like to twist that question a little bit and say, why do people with disabilities need a sexual revolution? I was thinking about that when I was listening to that song. Like, I picked it because I had Freak at the start. I thought, well, that's with theme. But but then, you know, it talks about revolution as well. And I think, for me, I would love to see people with disabilities have our sexual revolution. I don't think we've really had it yet, as I was saying before. Like, I think a lot of people with disabilities really internalize this idea that their body is different in a negative way and then find it really hard to feel positive about their difference. And I think for anyone that lives in, you know, this society that we live in, when you're living differently and you're living outside the box because you're part of a minority, it's always a struggle to maintain that pride. Like, you have some days where you'll feel on top of it all and you'll be like, yep, I know who I am, and then other times where it'll just get a bit too much. So I understand that life is like a wave. But, yeah, I think that it'd be really great if people with disabilities could get out and about and feel more sexy. And I think it starts with knowing your own body, and for me that's been a journey around buying some really good quality sex toys. So that's part of what makes me feel sexy, is being like, I have a really good relationship with myself and my own body, and I know my own body and my desires really well, and I've worked really hard on my capacity to communicate those clearly to other people. And so then when I have a lover, I can then feel confident to, you know, talk through things with her and also to have some fun with some toys if that's what we want to do. So I think, yeah, that's part of really what makes me feel sexy and confident. And as a person with a disability, I think that often you're the first person, if you go into bed with an able bod, that they've slept with that has a non-normative body. And so for me, having a bag of tricks has been really important to make sex fun and funny and interesting and not like this scary serious thing, oh my god, you know.
It's okay to talk to me if you want to.
Yeah.
Anyone in here?
Oh goodness, it's getting a bit warm in here.
I guess for me, what makes me feel sexy is this being around people who are like-minded like myself, and people telling me that I'm sexy. being in a good space, around good people I know, and a community that understands, sounds a bit wanky. But, you know, so you don't have to go, you don't have to tell them, you know, I'm Chad, I'm in a wheelchair, blah, blah, blah. So boring after a while. You just want to go have a beer with a few friends and be like, yep. And then hopefully go home with someone who is either sexy or the equivalent of sexy. as you are.
Joy is a good meeting place for people in the gay LBGI community. But I mean, does quipping sort of is it good for hookups? Is what I want to ask. Do people hook up in quippings?
Well, I've propositioned someone from quipping. So she said no.
Of course you have, Jax.
She said no.
What?
She said no, not tonight, honey. And I went, okay.
Was that before or after you were MC?
She'll eat her words. October 1st.
But anyway, I got turned down.
No, but you know, people know me, and I probably slept with half of the equipping.
Jared's a bit of a tart. Just quietly.
I'm getting that. Like I said, it's getting warm.
There'll be no slut shaming in here.
He has a love for accessible toilets too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Special kind of love. Yeah.
Well, you know.
I guess they're spacious, aren't they?
We need to reclaim them as part of our sexual revolution. Jared's at the helm.
And I look in there like they're the equivalent of an able bodied person that would be using the back seat of their car.
Yeah.
Like, I'll probably spend just as much time as in the disabled toilet is able by spinning their car.
I guess, and just, I mean, another merit is that, you know, they're often, they can be locked, they're very, you know, away from the brouhaha of everybody else. So in terms of a beat sense is where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
They're quite
they're
unique in that sense.
Beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be really a new... What are we doing?
Well, I'm not going to look at those toilets, all those little strips at the intersection, the same way again from now on.
No.
Great. This is one of my missions in life, is to sexualize public spaces. Everything. Make able bods think twice when they're wandering around going, what have cripples been doing in these spaces lately?
First of all, an able bod should never go into a disabled toilet.
Yeah, and if they do, you know, they should see something they don't want to see and they won't forget.
Yeah, and if you go in there, bring a disabled person with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take.
I guess we've actually got to start wrapping up soon, but I mean, I just want to say thanks to Jax and Jared for joining us here in here. That's a lot of J. Joining us in here at Joy for Lefty Pinkos. But I guess just before we take off, though, for the night, I just want to kind of give your show a good plug. It's Quippin's Freaktastic Fringe. It's at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent, 35 Johnson Street in Collingwood. Mm. It's actually in the Circus Oz space, isn't it?
Yeah, so it used to be in the city and now it's moved to Collingwood. So go to Collingwood. That's where it is. And so it's in a new venue. It's in a new home. And Circus Oz have been really amazing and made it super accessible. So people in chairs can get all in the venue, can sit wherever they want in the audience. We can get backstage. It's been really great. They've been really great in terms of accessibility.
The show runs from the 1st of October to the 5th of October, and I noted in my notes here, and this is kind of foolish for radio, but there's an Auslan interpreted show on the 3rd of October,
And the 4th as well now.
And the 4th of...
YDAS, which is the Youth Advocacy Disability Service, have just said that they'll pay interpreting for the Saturday night as well, so our Friday and Saturday nights
are now. So for the 3rd and the 4th of October, Auslan interpreted?
Fantastic.
Brian, just before you keep wrapping up there, I just want to say we've got a message through from Leanna as well, just saying, so proud of you all, amazing, inspiring and courageous. So thanks for that feedback.
I'm not inspiring.
I don't know. Come next the 1st of October.
Yeah, you can tell me if I am.
Okay. No, I will definitely go opening night and I'll see you there during the season. So, it is getting hot here. But actually, we're gonna play a song. And this is... do you want to intro this song, Jax? It's from the Bear Brass Asylum Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
They're part of your show.
Yeah. So this is called Welcome. This is the first song they're going to play when the audience comes in and sits down for our shows. And it's about disability and it's about welcome to our world, like welcome to all the things that we do differently or that we have to put up with as people with disabilities. So it's going to welcome everyone to our show.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for joining us here on Lefty Pinkos. Stick around for more joy listening. But here's the Bear Brass Asylum Orchestra will be part of the Freaktastic Fringe Festival Quipping Show. It starts on October 1st, goes till the 5th. Get down and check it out.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.